Blog Talk Radio.
Months
months in advance of a on-time production and delivery. This means that out of hundreds of strains, scientists have to pick a few and hope their supposedly educated guess is correct. Because flu vaccines have been shown to cause severe reactions such as Guillain-Barré syndrome and seizures, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention provides website visitors with a link to the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, where anyone injured by the flu shot can file a claim. World-leading immunogeneticist Dr. Hugh Fudenberg even found that people who receive 5 flu shots over the course of their lifetime have a 10 times greater chance of developing Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, my God.
The CDC has determined that anywhere between 3,000 and 49,000 flu-associated deaths occur in the U.S. each year. As the 2012 U.S. population sits at approximately 314 million people, this means that as an American, you have between a 0.001 and a 0.02% chance of dying from the flu. In 2009, deliberate N1H1 virus fear-mongering by the World Health Organization and the mainstream media led to billions in big pharma vaccine profits on a shot that hadn't even been sufficiently tested for safety. In addition, the CDC hosts a web page titled Pregnant Women Need a Flu Shot, urging soon-to-be moms to get vaccinated against the flu. And yet, elsewhere on the CDC site, it warns that children younger than 6 months of age should not get a flu shot. How an inoculation that is not deemed safe enough for a newborn infant can somehow be considered perfectly safe for a still-developing fetus is not explained.
That's eugenics.
The government spends millions subsidizing the vaccine industry each year as potentially dangerous shots are pushed in the public in the name of crony capitalism. More and more healthcare workers are being told what they have to put in their bodies, despite all the evidence that is more harmful than helpful and whether they like it or not. Citing reasons of public safety and personal responsibility, how long before states begin to consider and even attempt to require everyone, not just health care workers, to get an annual flu shot? I don't want one.
I since I haven't had one, I haven't had the flu.
Yeah, me either.
It's been many years. So, anyway, let me go on to something. Here's a
kind of a long article.
Did you want to read that? Or?
Well, it's pretty long.
Let me just read a quick initiation here. The real bitter cost of Obamacare. First of all, allow me to disabuse you of the notion that Obamacare has anything to do with health care. Obamacare is not about health. It's not about lowering the cost of health insurance. It's not about ensuring that everyone is insured. It's about locking more Americans into the clutches of the big pharma medical industrial complex, providing more customers for big insurance, and confiscating more wealth from individuals and businesses. An American healthcare system should probably be called SITCARE. It is a subtle and esoteric system of population control with prescription drugs issued at the public expense by the cartel, the conglomerate of the pharmaceutical houses. So, essentially, it's a deal for the pharmaceutical companies.
That was in turn for Obama getting a few hints for, like, no preconditions on insurance. Kids 25 can still be insured on their parents' policy.
There are a few things. But there's a lot of other things because, union members were exempt from Obamacare for until 2014, and other people will start paying for it now.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. In the meantime, why don't we figure out how to get off the grid? Last chance, an off-grid opportunity.
Yeah, that's very short.
Want to read it?
Yeah, it's just read with, you know, this is like a paragraph or two.
Oh, I said, you want to read it?
Sure. Just a paragraph or two on it. Very little. I was disappointed when I went into that.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty long. It's pretty long.
Hmm.
The vast majority of American population will be content to stay in the rat race, stay in the system, and in the life that have been told to good is good for them. This is from, trying to figure out where the hell this is from. Just Wondering? Oh, this is Zen Gardner. So you can take it with a grain of salt, but yeah, you can read a little of that if you like. He's kind of a spiritualist kind of guy.
Yeah, I know, I read it. Beautiful picture that you can't see, folks, of a garden, though. The vast majority of the American population will be content to stay in the rat race, stay in the system, in the life they've been told is good for them, judged by how much they can buy, putting yet more money in the hands of the elite, and when the elite begin to do away with the excess population, they will easily be led away. Some of us understand there is a better way to live, regardless of what does or does not happen out there. Some of us are already here waiting for you to join us. You can be with people who want something better from life than the current American way. You can be with people who know that life they live is their choice and who choose to be self-reliant. You can be with people who choose to be kind to others and only expect kindness in return. You can be with people who know the difference between value and money. You can be with people whose intention is to be around for the blossoming of the new paradigm based more on caring about others than on greed. There is no doubt that the world is in for a drastic change. Direct that change in your life to be better for yourself and for those you love. Make the change what you want it to be and make it with others who have the same vision. It doesn't matter what does or does not happen in geopolitics, economics, or populations going wide. Wild, if you've already set your own peaceful, self-sufficient way. When chaos hits the streets, it can just be another day for you. We have lived this way long enough to help you achieve more smoothly and easily than if you set out to do it on your own. We can help each other. We know you're out there. There are just so very few of us that it's difficult for us to find each other. We already live in the lifestyle. Live the lifestyle in places, New Mexico, that we have found to be excellent for realizing the intention. We invite others who hear the same call, who are willing to do hard physical and emotional work to make it a reality, to put into the universe the energy that defeats the darkness along with us, making the signal stronger that says we'll live and stand within the natural law. Are you up to the challenge of living a better life? Do you have the courage, the guts to live a new lifestyle? Can you step away from the current form of society that drains every bit of humanity out of you without you even knowing it? If you think you'd like to find out, send us an email and tell us about yourself. But only do it if you are prepared to take action now, not sometime in the distant future. We are accepting a limited number of applications. Our attitude is to be egalitarian, but we are only looking for one more person or party who has something to offer us in exchange for this opportunity. Dan and Sheila are the authors of Surviving Survivalism, How to Avoid Survivalism Culture Shock, and host of the free podcast, Still Surviving with Dan and Sheila. Both available at http://survivingsurvivalism.com. For more information about their survival community or any questions, they can be reached at surviving@liveabit.com. Okay, so you can reach them at surviving@liveabit. That's live, LAVABIT, .com.
So liveabit. And join their cult over there.
New Mexico.
Survival cult. It'll love. It's crazier and crazier. Okay.
She was swearing off wool.
Oh, okay. Post-election flip-flopping plans to cripple Americans. The sound of jaws dropping and hitting the floor across the country was never more audible than when the Republican Party, along with the talking potato heads of Faux News, began promoting amnesty for 11 million immigrants who have entered the country illegally. The post-election flip-flop was predictable. Rather than admit they canned a surefire winner with Ron Paul in exchange for a corporate panderer that lacked any kind of personality, but who would have continued the status quo without question, the GOP has decided that the problem must be those Latino votes. None of this is even slightly surprising. I'm gonna kick out of that. I knew they were gonna pull that crap. Oh, it's so stupid. But as a nation, we are about to see the recipients of one of the greatest screw jobs in the history of mankind. The federal corporation, the one that we refer to as the federal government, is in the process of negotiation between the warring factions of the one-party system over how much amnesty will be given versus how much a hit Social Security is about to take. The Democrat faction will cave in on Social Security as a trademark, as a trade for Republicans throwing their support behind a big, giant amnesty bill. And a federal corporation wins, and we, the people, will get screwed harder than a prostitute at Bohemian Grove. Well, at least 67% of Americans oppose any form of amnesty or so-called comprehensive immigration reform. Those righteous jackasses in the district of criminals continue on as if we were not out here. For all intents and purposes, we aren't. It is these same career politicians who have actively worked to prevent the border from being secured or the active deportation of illegal aliens back to their home countries. So, and then he gets into cutting Social Security. I meant to tell you who this was. Who the hell is this guy? The PP Gazette. The writer was Mark Oakley. Let's let you know that. The big behind-the-scenes trade-off is this. Republicans will support comprehensive immigration reform and agree to leave the border open and unsecured so that the flood of immigrants continues unabated. In exchange, Democrats will support Republican efforts to cut Social Security. The first cut to Social Security will be this, the pension site. Between now and holidays, the President and Congress are considering a deal that would change Social Security cost of living, increase calculations with lower benefits by $112 billion in the next 10 years alone. Here is how this would really shake out. In 2011, even with the economy severely tanking, Social Security produced a $63.9 billion surplus. That was $63.9 billion that the federal government immediately seized to fund their wars and pay for crap that makes all of us sick. By lowering benefits by $112 billion over 10 years, they have simultaneously increased the amount of surplus available for theft. Never have they mentioned cutting spending for their ill-planned projects, which would benefit all of us. How this would affect the deficit? And of course, it would increase the deficit. Is it Christmas yet? We just had Thanksgiving, and usually those fat cats in the District of Columbia of criminals are nowhere to be found. As an indicator that all of this was planned long before the election and that none of this spontaneous or spur-of-the-moment plans to cut Social Security costs out of living, cost of living and flip-flop on illegal immigration have already made front-page news.
Mm-hmm.
These plans were on the table before your turkey was.
Is that right?
And we are in desperate need of some sort of national security system. As a nation, we have to be safe and secure and defended from the federal corporation.
Yeah.
So, interesting, huh?
We're defending from all these false enemies that we really don't have.
Absolutely.
From the corporations, they just spend some money there.
Absolutely. We're just getting screwed.
Screwed, blued, and tattooed.
Oh, here you go, Lila. You enjoy this one. Oh, Fox News.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Food stamps are a fabulous diet.
Yeah, oh, I saw that. What a arrogant...
Frick,
This is a woman, an arrogant bitch.
Yeah, really.
This is from The Independent. Fox TV presenter Andrea Tantaro says food stamps are a fabulous diet. Okay. Bitch. A Fox News presenter has brought more controversy to the notoriously right-wing broadcaster by suggesting that four poor families could benefit from having to rely on food stamps as it could help them diet. Asked during the Five show if she could survive on food stamps, which provides an average food subsidy of $133 a month for hard-up families, Andrea Tantro said, "I should try it because you know how fabulous I'd look? I'd be so skinny. I mean, the camera adds 10 pounds. It really does." The 33-year-old TV host has offered no apology later, tweeting, "It's amazing how stupid and humorless some liberals can be." She also referred to government adverts, which she claimed were telling us food stamps would make us look great. Yeah, well, you know, lady, you try being on food stamps and try to live on that and see what kind of good food you can buy. And there's nothing funny about being on food stamps. Try being unemployed, and you wouldn't be able to buy that girdle that sucks you in and that push-up bra.
There you go, Lena.
Just keep me a Mickey stick.
Yeah, I mean, Lena works with people that are that need help every day, and you know, she's a counselor.
Yeah, see, that's just so wrong.
Yeah,
people,
I mean, people
are arrogant woman.
Really hurting.
What a hurtful thing to say to people are hungry.
Multi-millionaire Goldman Sachs CEO Blankfein.
Oh, this is a...
That's a good one, huh?
This is another thoughtless person.
He says Americans should work longer and receive fewer benefits.
Says he who makes, you know...
Billions of dollars.
Yeah.
$900 million average salary.
We don't deserve Social Security or any benefits. Yeah.
$900,000 average salaries. Goldman. Solving the long-term solvency problem of Social Security, we mean Americans retiring later in life and receiving fewer benefits. According to one Wall Street tycoon who received $16 million in compensation in 2011, Lloyd Bankfein, the enormously wealthy CEO of Goldman Sachs, recently told the CBS News that the retirement age has to be changed. He also remarked that maybe some of the benefits have to be affected, maybe some of the inflation adjustments have to be revised, but in general, entitlements have to be slowed down and contained. You want to read the rest of that?
Yeah, his name is Blankfein.
Blankfein.
Blankfein, who owns $210 million worth of Goldman Sachs stock, defended his suggestion by claiming that Social Security wasn't devised to be a system that supported you for a 30-year retirement after a 25-year career. Oh, yeah, most people would like to work just 25 years.
Yeah.
Pompous ass. And this is from AllGov. The remark prompted a big, huh, among many who saw Blankfein's interview. A 25-year career? Yeah, if most Americans only work 25 years, that would mean they were retiring in their 40s. Maybe that's all he worked. And if they spent at least 30 years in retirement, that would mean Americans are living until their mid-80s or mid-90s. The reality is that the average life expectancy of an American is currently only 78. Article was by Noel Brinkerhoff from All Government, AllGov. The arrogance of
it's
these
like they,
people.
They don't even look at their own ass. They don't look at their own, their own entitlement,
And of course, Arafat's body is to be dug up, or was dug up today. What it says about that. I guess they took levels.
Yeah, that was interesting. I thought he did some guidelines.
Let's see. Just said the tomb will be opened on November 27th, and the experts will take samples the same day within a matter of hours. A reburial will be held. Researchers, and that's it. It was just a very short little thing.
What is it? Facebook predicts college freshmen's intention to have sex study finds.
Facebook, well, that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hell is not thinking
that's,
about.
That's why kids go off to college.
I was trying to get that for you, but I wouldn't go.
It was there. Also, this is a good one. 10 must-have healing remedies. I thought this was pretty good.
Okay.
10 must-have healing remedies. Peeking inside your medicine cabinet. Have you peeked inside your medicine cabinet lately? Chances are, even if you eat locally, compost, food scraps, and clean with nothing but vinegar and baking soda, its contacts are medicinal flashbacks to your childhood. When it comes to the medicine cabinet, it's habitual to reach for over-the-counter drugs. But we have some alternatives. And the first one is calendula cream. It's good for insect bites, stings, or skin irritation because calendula, made from marigold, is a century-old remedy for any skin itch or ouch. From bee stings to sunburns to eczema. The plant's skin relieving properties come from its mixture of essential oils, which are both antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory. How to apply? You apply the ointment containing 2-5% calendula as needed up to 4 times daily. Tip: if you have ragweed allergies, apply a dime-sized patch. Test the first time and watch for an allergic reaction. Why? Because calendula and ragweed are both members of the aster family and may cause an allergic reaction in those who are hypersensitive. Lavender and tea tree oil. It's good for cuts, burns, athlete's foot, minor infections, or it's a natural disinfectant. Because both are natural antiseptics, so they're great for killing germs, and each has its own medicinal prowess. Although best known for its relaxing aroma, which is proven to quell anxiety, lavender can also cool the pain of minor kitchen burns and sunburns, as well as prevent scarring. Meanwhile, tea tree oil is an equally powerful disinfectant, so a drop or two of that essential oil can be smoothed into cuts to stave off infection. Plus, its antifungal properties make it a natural weapon against the common toe fungus that causes athlete's foot. In one randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, tea tree oil was more than twice as effective as a placebo in relieving the burning and itching of athlete's foot. Both essential oils are natural antiseptics, and too much may dry the skin, so use sparingly. Oh, here's a tip. Add a few drops of water and tea tree essential oil to a spray bottle filled with water to make a disinfectant spritz for countertops, doorknobs, and even yoga mats. Here's one I never heard of. Arnica tablets and cream. They're good for bruises, bumps, muscle aches, and sprains. Arnica is made from extracts of the mountain daisy, a flowering plant common to high elevations in Europe. Reportedly, the herb's healing properties were discovered when people noticed that mountain goats nibbled on the plant after they had bad falls. Quaint as that sounds, arnica has some serious scientific backing. Studies show that an active component in arnica called helenolin impedes the body's inflammatory response to injury by preventing the release of an immune system regulator called NFKB, One caveat, the plant itself can be toxic, so use only arnica gels and tablets, not the raw herb. For a whole body trauma like after surgery or widespread muscle ache, take 5 tablets of homeopathic arnica 4 times a day until you experience relief. Let's see.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, why don't you read that? We have some aloe vera.
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah, everybody should have some of that.
We have that big plant.
Very good, you know.
Our neighbor gave it to us.
Oh, that's right. Good for mild to moderate sunburn and household burns. You should have put some of that on.
Yeah, I should have put it on. I've got a burn.
They burned their, she burned herself by steam on her hand. The vicious juice of the aloe vera plant. Contains natural inflammation fighters called salicylates.
Hmm.
I should have Lila read this. It's medical. As pain and swelling subside over aloe ingredients.
It's good for sunburns. Great.
Goad the body into making antibiotics which speed healing. Petri dish studies show that regenerating skin cells called fibroblasts reproduce up to 4 times faster when treated with aloe vera. When it comes to sunburn, aloe vera works beautifully, says Jacob Tittlebaum, author of Pain Free. How to slather aloe vera gels on the sunburn. Okay, tip. If not fit, it won't fit in your medicine cabinet, but you're willing to think outside of the box, keep an aloe vera plant in the kitchen. For burns, clip segments from the oldest most bottom leaves so you don't stunt the plant's growth, and then slather the juice on your red, inflamed skin. It should quickly relieve the pain. If the pain returns, simply clip another segment and add more gel. You should try that.
Yeah, I should.
Have
a plant.
Yeah, all you did is clip the
I've done that before in the past. Yeah.
You put some on? Mm-hmm. You did that before?
Yeah, I've had aloe vera plants before.
Well, why didn't you do it on your
own? I didn't think of it.
You should have done it.
Yeah, I should have.
It should quickly relieve the pain, right? It's going to relieve the pain quickly.
I don't have any pain right now, but
okay.
I did.
If the pain returns, simply clip another segment and apply more gel.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be fine. Okay. Eucalyptus essential oil.
That's good for cold.
A bit for upper respiratory infection.
Smells like Vicks.
Yeah, it's eucalyptus, yeah.
Yeah. Great smell.
Those,
I love that.
What do they call them? Those eucalyptus pills there. I used to like those calls, you know, eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are pretty good. They open your sinuses. Eucalyptus is oil and expectorant.
Sort of like a menthol kind of.
Yeah. It says, squeeze from the plants, squeeze from the leaves and branch tips of eucalyptus trees. Eucalyptus oil also has antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory properties.
Boy.
All of which may help fight off infection and speed recovery. Eucalyptus oil is also an expectorant, meaning it helps expel mucus from the lungs. So how to put 2 or 3 drops of eucalyptus essential oil in a pot of boiling water and inhale the steam. For children with chest colds, add a few drops to a vaporizer and run it in their bedroom at night. And during the day, the couple of drops of essential oil placed under the nose can keep congestion at bay. And smell familiar? Eucalyptus owes its activity to menthol, a key ingredient in most vapor rubs. So it's menthol is what's in there.
Mm.
And Vicks vapor rub.
Yeah.
A little eucalyptus oil goes a long way. Too much of any essential oil can be a skin irritant. So use sparingly as a topical treatment.
Yeah. More isn't necessarily better in this case.
Yeah, I like this oil because, I know that works. And we all do. And aloe vera and you know, peppermint tea tablets and essential oil. Now, you see, you don't have peppermint tea, though. You have mint tea.
Yeah.
You drink that every day.
Yeah, I like that. I probably would like peppermint even better.
Yeah, you should get some peppermint tea. Lila drinks tea every day at little lunch. And let's see. There is only so much... here we go. Peppermint tea, tablets, and essential oils.
I didn't know they even came in tablet form.
I didn't either. Good for stomach cramps and bloating.
But I guess they have, like, peppermint patties, so why wouldn't they have peppermint tablets?
Yeah. Use tea or tablets as well as aches and pains, including headaches. Use essential oil. Wow. Okay. Interesting. For aches and pains, including headaches. Because topically, in small doses, peppermint oil eases the pain of sore muscles and headaches by stimulating nerve receptors on the skin. Oh, wow. Which override pain signals. There is only so much signal that can travel along any given nerve. And I'd rather have a minty fresh signal and an ouch signal.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's how instead of it replaces the pain signal. Yeah. Internally, peppermint can be inhaled, tossed back in a tablet, or sipped as a tea. For a stuffy nose, a few drops of peppermint essential oil and a vaporizer can ease breathing. For stomach troubles after a meal, a simple cup of peppermint tea aids digestion and supports the breakdown of food. I used to love when I could eat those little peppermints after dinner.
After dinner mints, they always make you feel good.
Those are great, yeah. Sweet as hell, but
they're very soothing, especially if you had a big meal.
Yeah. For intestinal problems, though, peppermint tablets are best. Peppermint is a muscle relaxant. Oh, I didn't know that. So the herb can relax muscles that are prone to cramping during digestion. What do you think of that? In 2007, a study published in the journal Digestive and Liver Disease Patients with IBS who swallowed peppermint capsules 1 hour before eating felt a 75% reduction in symptoms compared with only a 38% drop for those who popped placebos. What do you think of that, huh?
Yeah, I read that.
Isn't that so?
Yeah, I read that earlier. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah. And one caveat, if muscle-relaxing peppermint oils come into contact with the esophageal sphincter.
Sphincter, it burns it so you get it.
Yeah. They can cause it to loosen up, which can lead to heartburn.
Mm.
The fix is to use enteric-coated peppermint capsules, which protect the esophagus on the way down and get the cramp-relieving oils where they need to be. In the colon, explains James Wallace. ND. And how to. For tension headaches, massage 2 or 4 drops of peppermint oil into the skin of the forehead. More than that can be irritating when applied directly to the skin. So two to four drops.
For a headache.
To soothe a cough, squeeze 3 or 4 drops of peppermint oil into hot water or a vaporizer and inhale a steam. For digestion, drink a cup of peppermint tea after a meal. And if you've been diagnosed with an irritated colon, try enteric-coated peppermint tablets and follow instructions on the label. Tip. Mark Blumenthal, Executive Director of American Botanical Council, likes to keep peppermint spirits handy for a quick stomach smoothie. A blend of peppermint leaf extract and peppermint essential oil. Peppermint spirits often offer fast-acting relief from both stomach upset and gas. Place a drop's worth of spirits in a small glass of water and drink up. There you go. And there's another one. I can't even pronounce that.
Which one?
Oscillocophenium.
Oscillocophenium.
Find that one in your grocery store.
Oh, good. it's good for reviving flu symptoms. This is a homeopathic flu remedy, contains a highly, I don't know whether I like this idea, diluted concentration of the virus. So diluted, in fact, that no clinically testable trace of the flu is in, the final formula, which sparks the body's immune system to fight off the bug. Several studies have shown that this not only lessens the severity of flu symptoms, but also shortens their duration. A lot of people swear by homeopathic remedies. The latest research published in the British Homeopathic Journal found that nearly 63% of the people who took this within 24 hours of flu onset showed either clear improvement or complete resolution within 48 hours. Homeopathic works on a different set of principles than conventional medicine. Its basic approach is that, like is that, in quotes, like treats like. Therefore, randomized controlled trials, the gold standard of Western medicine, are difficult to design. Even though the remedy only contains an energetic imprint of the flu, says Wallace, the body summons the immune system to respond to the virus to fight it off. Far-fetched though it may seem, some doctors are keeping a more open mind about homeopathic remedies these days. Mehmet Oz, MD, appeared on Oprah a few years ago and touted energy medicine, which includes homeopathy, as the next big frontier in modern medicine. How to? Like any flu preventative, this works best if taken early, preferably within 24 hours of experiencing body-wide aches, fever, and a runny nose. Again, follow the instructions on the label. Substances, though, such as caffeine, chocolate, mint, and menthol, are thought to dampen the power of homeopathic remedies, so try to avoid them while using oscillococcinium. And then there's valerian capsules or a tincture. This is good for insomnia. Used as a sleep aid since the times of the ancient Greeks, valerian is one of the best-studied herbs for insomnia. A stack of studies show that valerian shortens the time it takes to fall asleep without leaving you with any of the hangover side effects common with prescription sleep aids. Exactly how valerian works is unclear. Like most plant-based remedies, it's probably a combination of factors. For instance, animal studies indicate valerian's volatile oils have sedative properties. Other studies show that the herb tricks the brain into releasing more GABA, that's gamma aminobutyric acid, a calming neurotransmitter, before blocking it from being sucked up by nerve cells. So the GABA continues to circulate and encourage sleep. Just follow the dosage. In about 10% of the people, valerian actually creates restlessness and anxiety. So take a fraction of the dose the first time to make sure you are not one of the unlucky few. And here's a good one. Rescue remedy. It's good for anxiety.
Must be fun. Yeah, good for anxiety. Because rescue remedy, most popular of the many flower remedies, is a blend of five different flower essences, each countering a particular type of stress. Flower remedies are made mostly from wildflowers infused in water, then filtered and preserved with equal parts of brandy. Medical evidence.
That should decrease your anxiety.
Sure. Medical evidence detailing if and how flower essences work in sparse, but that doesn't keep any integrative physicians from swearing by them. Flower remedies call under the art of medicine and the heart of healing, says Tettelbaum. Who the heck knows how they work, but they do. And how to manage everyday stress, place four drops on the tongue three or four times a day, or dilute the drops in a glass of water and sip through the day. For acute stress or anxiety, take about four drops every 20 minutes until feelings subside. I wonder why. Why they regulate every 20 minutes. One of the biggest perks of flower essences is that they are absolutely no side effects. Alcohol-free versions of Rescue Remedy are available for children and pets. I can't even pronounce this thing.
Which one?
Andrographis paniculata tincture.
No, it's Andrographis paniculata tincture.
Yes.
Yeah. Fighting off
colds.
Yeah. An immune-enhancing herb common in traditional Chinese medicine, Andrographis paniculata is a potent infection fighter. In review of 11 double-blind placebo-controlled studies, Andrographis paniculata repeatedly curtailed cold and flu symptoms. In one of the best studies to date, the herb outperformed placebos by squelching cold symptoms, including headaches, runny nose, and sore throat. How does it work? Like every herb, Andrographis paniculata has many, many active constituents, says Hope, but a big part of its usefulness are its powerful antimicrobial substances. A dose of Andrographis paniculata is 400 micrograms three times a day. If a cold feels eminent, choose a tincture over a capsule or tablet, says Hope. Tinctures are easily absorbed by the body, therefore they get to work faster.
There you go.
And people wrote all kinds of comments on this. People wrote about benefits of honey, the benefits of honey from New Zealand. Somebody said you forgot witch hazel. Somebody else said something, you forgot cannabis.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
The best relief for nausea I've ever found. Jeez, that would make me sick.
Yeah, I wouldn't be nauseous anymore. I guess I'd throw up.
A couple of tablespoons or less in a glass of water helps me feel better in a minute or so. The downside, even diluted, it doesn't taste great, but you can drink it through a straw if you like, and of course the effect is the same. Yeah, cannabis oil, barbiturate of soda, iodine, magnesium. Those things all cure cancer. And hydrogen peroxide, food grade. Here it cures everything.
But those are some great things.
Yeah.
You can go to David Icke's site. It's the first article on his site.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, print that out for yourself so you could have it. Maybe go to...
Is that the first article?
Yeah, I think it is. On the under Headline News, it's one of the first.
Oh, yeah.
Right under the Headline
News,
and it's the first. And it's quite interesting. It's worth. I think it'd be worth printing out. I was thinking about doing that myself. Because I forget to get those things. And it's good to have things like that in your medicine cabinet. You don't want to get prescriptions and be killed by all those pharmaceuticals.
We got about 10 minutes left. This one by fast. JFK assassination and the lost prospects for peace. That was about. Oh, Israeli soldiers claim Netanyahu is a loser.
Well, that's because they're mad because he didn't. They kind of quit. That's what they think.
Hello.
Yeah, for all that Gail knows, that's
But on Thursday, a group of Israeli soldiers published a photograph of some of their comrades lying on the ground, their faces clouded in defeat and exuding an air of brokenness. A short tagline attached to the image read, "Bibi is a loser." It was unloaded onto Facebook and Hebrew media outlets, and a photo has gone viral. This is not the only evidence of the sense of defeat felt by Israelis since yesterday's announcement of a ceasefire between Israel and Palestine resistance movements. Hundreds of comments left by visitors to the sites are quite clear in their sentiments, and Israelis have no qualms about insulting their leaders in the most egregious terms. It's funny. So you can go check that out if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear the Israelis are pissed off at their own people. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's good to hear that. I didn't, you know, nobody really knew the Israelis were so pissed off. They want to get... They should be pissed off for fighting. Instead, they were pissed off for not fighting. How can you take that group? Let's see, we've got 9 minutes left. Let me find something for Lila to read. There. We'll read this. It should be. It's not. No. Yeah, that's pretty long. The Israeli ceasefire. It's way, way too long to even get started. This is good. This is true. Everyone's heard about the clown in Egypt. Concerns that the first democratically elected president in Egyptian history would be subservient to military council that had ruled the country since dictator Mubarak was toppled in 2011. But by August, Morsi had pulled off a political coup, issuing a decree that purged the military of its leadership and left in the sole control of the government and full executive and legislative authority. A decree issued Thursday expanded Morsi's power even further, putting his decision beyond dispute and neutralizing the judiciary that was one of the last institutions challenging his Islamist government. Now, not since the days of the pharaohs has an Egyptian leader amassed so much power. An activist protesting in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Even Mubarak never dared to go this far, and you saw what happened to him. Morsi's decision to expand his own power set up a political firestorm, exposing deep rifts between his supporters, predominantly members of the Muslim Brotherhood and other conservative Islamic groups, and the liberal and secular Egyptians, who are his main opponents. Clashes erupted as the rival camps held demonstrations in cities across Egypt today. Or Friday, really. And it goes on, and I highly recommend you go to it. It's on Euchernet, euchernet.org. Right? James Holmes.
That was kind of a crazy one, yeah.
Yeah, because he's really one of the 20s. But you know, the Colorado killer, very interesting. claims that he was brainwashed, you know, to kill him. And you know, by the way, you might want to challenge some of that, or I don't know. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
You're not being very.
You could give me that one.
Animated.
I read that one.
You're sweet a little bit.
Kind of left me hanging though at the end. You don't really know what's going to happen to this guy.
Yeah, it's true. But why don't you read a little bit of that and read a few paragraphs of that.
This is a confession. James Hone tells inmate he was programmed to kill. Colorado inmate Stephen Yunra is having a hard time convincing anyone he spent hours talking to Aurora Theater shooting suspect James Holmes shortly after his arrest in July. Jail officials say there's no way that Unruh could have that kind of access, yet certain elements of the story, which includes a description that resembles the headbanging routine that sent Holmes to the hospital last week, have been attracting attention from law enforcement and even families of the shooting victims. They're going to try to discredit my story, Unruh told Westwood Ward in a recent interview at the jail. But I was able to have a four-hour talk with him. I talked him out of suicide. Unruh insists that the sporadic conversations continue even after Holmes was moved to another cell in the area. He said that Holmes told him he felt he was in a video game during the shooting, that he wasn't on his meds and nobody would help him. He says Holmes also mentioned NLP, probably neuro-linguistic programming, a much scorned, outmoded approach to psychotherapy, and claimed to have been programmed to kill by an evil therapist. When he got to his car, he wasn't programmed no more, Unruh says. It sounded kind of crazy. He was trying to run by me, basically.
Anyway,
you can read, I was just reading here, you can read the complete article. It's attached. It doesn't really say very much, not really.
But it does say that the guy talked to him.
Yeah.
The guy, he said he was programmed, and... You know, and this guy...
Maybe he was.
I wouldn't doubt if the guy did talk to him. I mean, who's going to admit that the guy got 4 hours of
my mouth is all dry.
Talk time with this guy.
Yeah.
Who was in some kind of confinement, you know?
Very strange, the whole thing. You don't really hear much about it anymore.
Up and down, yeah. It might come out again. But they pretty much sealed the records on this thing because... it was such a bizarre killing. Anyway.
I think he'll end up in a mental hospital.
I do too.
Something happened to that guy. He blew a gasket somewhere.
I mean, even his own people.
Family?
Family. Well, not his family, but his own... lawyers and all that stuff. Even the victims. The victims, even wonder what the hell, you know, what can they get out of this guy? Nothing, you know. They can't get a guilty plea out of him. He's like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. It's very strange.
I
just didn't know what to think of that whole thing.
Yeah, it's there.
But folks can read about it.
Yeah. And it's 9 o'clock, and we want to thank everybody who listened tonight, and we hope you can go to that. If you want to check out some interesting stuff, go to David Icke's site, davidicke.com, and go down to naturalnews.com, go through some of these great sites that we've mentioned, global.ca and Ukrnet also.
Has a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so hope you're with us tomorrow night. We'll have Gail Corey Townsend with us. She's a journalist and writes for Indian Times Today, and she's also a Palestinian activist, and she's very, very active woman and very knowledgeable. And she's also the founder of thecornerreport.com. Thecornerreport.com is a as a news journal and really involved with the Middle East. Okay, so I want to thank everybody and wish you very, very, very pleasant good night. We hope you all had a great time over Thanksgiving. We kind of did, and we'll talk about that next week. So tomorrow night, join us right here, Gail Corey Townsend.
Good night, folks. Talk to you tomorrow.
We'll discuss the Middle East crises.
Yeah.